Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm John Batchelor with the authors, Jerry Dunleavy and James Hassan. Jerry is now working with the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and Mr. Hassan is an author, a U.S. Army Ranger graduate, an Army captain, former Army captain, and a receiver of the Bronze Star. We come to the after effect. 13 Americans lost their lives that day, Marines, in the Ghost Company, and many more were wounded. Many Afghan nationals lost their lives, maybe 170, maybe more. There were lots of orphan children. The bomber himself, however, is revelatory because the war goes on. The war against al-Qaeda, the war against our adversaries, the war against the Afghanistan people who are in desperate situation today, abandoned by, as far as I can tell, their former partners, now prey to the exploitation of other nationals. That would be the PRC, and that would be Pakistan's bad actors, the Pakistani Taliban, the Afghanistan Taliban, al-Qaeda, ISIS. And the puzzle here raised by Jerry and James is why the State Department doesn't want to tell the American people what it knows to be true, who the bomber was. His name was Lagari, Al-Lagari, Abdul Rahman Al-Lagari. Where he came from, what his associations were, and why this is important to understand, because al-Qaeda has not left Afghanistan. ISIS has not left Afghanistan. And the U.S. is conducting what it needs to do to gather information and yet not conveying to the American people. Jerry, I come to you. I don't want to be political here. I want to just understand the use or the explanation of why the American people don't know what's in your book. Why haven't we been told, Jerry?
Well, I think we haven't been told because the truth is extremely inconvenient. Abdul Rahman Al-Lagari, who was the suicide bomber at Abbey Gate that killed those 13 U.S. service members, he had been captured in a joint CIA and Indian intelligence operation back in 2017. He'd been planning to carry out a suicide attack along with some of his compatriots in New Delhi back in 2017. But he was rolled up, handed over to the CIA. The CIA interrogated him. The Afghan government interrogated him, and he was put in a Parwan prison, which is a prison at Bagram. And the Biden administration, of course, decided to shutter Bagram and abandon it, and which was a terrible decision, as we've laid out, for so many different reasons. But among those was that it left these prisons teeming with terrorist prisoners, and among them was Lagari. And the first thing the Taliban did was free these thousands of ISIS-K prisoners. And so for the Biden administration to be honest about who the suicide bomber was and how he came to be at Abbey Gate would be for them to admit that giving up Bagram was a terrible decision, and perhaps that trusting the Taliban to defend you against ISIS-K was also a terrible decision, when the first thing that they do when they take Bagram is free all those ISIS-K prisoners. So the Biden administration has not wanted to talk about this element of the entire disaster, and it's pretty clear why.
The ISIS-K today has a commander. His name is Mujahir, Shah al-Mujahir. He's said to be at large in your book. I understand maybe he's been apprehended by now, but I doubt it. Al-Qaeda remains intimately involved in Afghanistan. ISIS-K has a on-again, off-again relationship with the central government. All of this would help the American people understand how complex the situation has become and what needs to be done. What remains is a threat. So in closing your book, and this is to flatter you both, I'm left with many, many really good questions, and that's a great success you've done. Many good questions. This is not a fairy tale that ends either happily or unhappily. This is an open-ending story. And I come to you, James, because what we have here is one more question that maybe can be answered. Was it a complex attack? This is the equivalent of saying, was there only one gunman? What do you think, James?
I think there's a lot of evidence to say that this was not a single individual who was acting completely on his own, as the narrative has been. We don't, in Kabul, we do not reach a conclusion on that because, well, it's very, very difficult to reach a conclusion on that, given that immediately after the attack, we packed up and we left, and there was, you know, very little opportunity to interview anyone on the ground who were not U.S. troops, and to really do a full investigation of what happened. And in fact, I believe it was General Sullivan who acknowledged this. Actually, it was General Farrell who led Army Brigadier General Farrell who led the investigation. The Pentagon's investigation conceded that the investigation was limited because they, you know, they left and they don't have any evidence in front of them and they couldn't interview any Afghans who were on the ground at all. That said, the Pentagon concluded that it was not. They said that there was, you know, any gunfire was probably just, you know, reactionary gunfire from Marines who were on the ground, from, you know, potential Taliban individuals firing warning shots and of the like. But there's a lot of evidence that is inconsistent with that conclusion. And first of all, one of those is, you know, one piece of that is that the pretty consistent testimony of almost all of the junior Marines who were at the gates, who all believe that this was a complex attack. Some of them described seeing individuals. Some of them described hearing, you know, bullets snapping above their head, which if you've been in a war zone, you know exactly what that's like. It's very difficult to mistake. But there's also, you know, some you know, other evidence in that the trajectory, according to the Army explosive ordnance disposal team's investigation, the projectiles from the suicide bomber only hit a few feet below the canal, but they found people with lower extremity injuries who were several, their knees, who were several feet below the blast range and could not have been caused by the bomb. So there's a lot of questions still to be answered.
Jerry, 30 seconds. My reading of your book says that there were no Taliban casualties in the mass bombing on at Abbey Gate. Is that accurate to your understanding?
Yes, the Abbey Gate attack by the ISIS-K suicide bomber killed American service members and Afghan civilians and Afghan allies. It didn't kill any members of the Taliban.
Jerry Dunleavy, James Hassan, the book is Kabul, the untold story of Biden's fiasco and the American warriors who fought to the end. CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to the Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's Black Bean Burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.